All right, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like Bo Pelini is about to enter the room here and start his press conference, and we will have it all for you here on ESPN Radio.
I'm excited about this recruiting class. I appreciate everybody's efforts. There are a lot of people who worked really hard to make this class what it was. Signed a total of 26 guys, 13 different states plus Canada. So obviously that requires a lot of hard work. We have 15 walk-ons that are coming, 13 that are good to go right now that can be announced. There's two others that are a little work in progress as far as school admissions, that type of thing. And excited about this class. I think it adds a lot to our football team. Not only a lot of good athletes, a lot of good football players, but tremendous young men. A lot of character, type of kids that I want to coach, that we want to have represent our university, the state, the fans, everybody associated with our program. I'm excited about this group. And, type of kids that we believe that can lead us towards the goals we want to reach. At this time, also, I'd like to also announce that Braylon Hurd and Chase Rome aren't going to be a part of our program anymore. And with this group we have going forward, I think that our goal, obviously, in the coming year is going to be to win them all. I think this is a good one step forward and heading in that direction. So I'll open it up for questions.
Bo, how much did you guys really address the lines in this class? You took 60 linemen, 5-0 linemen.
Well, you look at what we've done defensive line wise in 6 guys this year, 4 guys the year before. That gives us 10 in the last 2 classes, and guys I think are gonna make a big difference in our football team and how we play defensively. So I'm excited about this group.
When you talk about the defensive line, how many of those guys would you like to see play of the 6 that you got this year? How many of those are you looking to contribute right away next year?
6.
If they can, I don't know. I mean, time will tell. Every guy's going to be a little bit different. It depends on how they pick things up, how they work between now when do we play? August 31st. There's a lot that has to be done. But I think that all 6 guys have ability. They have the potential to contribute. But that's what throw all these rankings and all this other stuff to the side and across the country. It's what you're looking at, potential. I saw a thing the other day. They talked about the top 100. Quote unquote ranked guys was like either 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and 46 out of 100 haven't played. So, you're talking about this time of year, it's about potential. And it's about who's, now we got to make an impact on these guys, develop them, and get them to play championship football. There's a lot that's good that needs to go into that from this point forward.
What do you think about the running backs you got? And I assume you expect those guys to play right away?
Once again, if they're capable, they'll play. I think they're both very capable. They're outstanding young men who come from great families. They're strong character kids who obviously have played winning football. And you just look at those 2 guys, and they're talented young men who have the potential to come in here and make an impact. And that's why we recruited them. And, in my opinion, we got 2 of the best in the country. No question in my mind.
So at 13 states, would you rather that be the norm going forward rather than the exception?
Every year is different, Rich. I don't know. I know one thing, where we're going to turn over every stone, and we evaluate hard. And we're particular in who we go after and why we go after them. And there's a lot more than just ability. It's how they play on film. It's the type of character they have. It's the intangibles, the leadership. Guys that we believe fit our program. And like I said, that's important to me. It's important to our staff. And I think that we found 26 guys that that we wanted on our football team. There were some kids that we recruited that early on and that we decided they weren't guys that we wanted in our football program. And at the end of the day, I feel good about the group we have. And once again, I appreciate the not only the coaches and the traveling and the hard work they put in, but our recruiting staff, the secretaries, the travel people. It's such a team effort to put a class together like this. Because I think this is a tremendous class that has a lot of potential in it. And today is really a culmination of a lot of hard work. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to each and every one of them and all the people that had a hand in what they in putting this class together, because it was a team effort.
About the last month, you had, I think, 12 commits in that time. You had a couple decommits. You had one guy commit, decommit, and then commit again today. I'm guessing the last month has been a whirlwind for you and your staff.
Yeah, well, recruiting in general is a whirlwind. And let's face it, I mean, it all depends on the young man. But across the country, I mean, let's face it, commitments don't mean a whole heck of a lot. With some kids, they do. And with some kids, it's, you know, commitment. You know as a coach when it's going to mean something and when it's not. But you, until you get that fax, you know that no commitment is worth much. So at the end of the day, you know, you have to keep recruiting them right to the end. I know our coaches were on the phone with each and every recruit last night. Well, once again, there are some kids you know, when they say yes and they're committed and you look them in the eye and their families all there, you know it's in a good direction. There are others that you know that you don't pay much attention to the commitment. And you know that you got to keep recruiting, and you also have to have backup plans and A, B, C, you know, all kinds of different plans. And for contingency plans, is things change, because things change daily in this recruiting world. And that's reality, and we have a pretty good understanding of that.
Have you ever seen a year like this, though, with so many guys flipping and coaches trying to take kids late from other schools? And do you think it could lead to an earlier signing day down the road, or at least get the NCAA thinking about it more?
You know, I don't know if it's about an early signing day. I think that at the end of the day, I think that the coaches, the administrators, the NCAA all need to go and sit in a room together. And until that happens, until there's a good deal of interaction one-on-one where we could all sit down and people and develop a good understanding that the people making the rules have a good understanding from us of what the challenges are and what the and me personally, I also believe that the high school coaches need to be a part of that. And until that happens, it's not going to get fixed. But you know, Sean, this isn't any different this year than it was any other year. Every year is like this. It just maybe happened maybe here locally a little bit more because we took more guys. So there was a lot more situations. You're talking about 26 commitments, so a lot more situations, but that brought it out to light, you know, brought it to light and brought reality of how crazy this is. And to me, showing a system that, in my opinion, needs tweaked and needs fixed. And I think that where it's heading right now with some of the rules, I think that's going down the wrong road to a certain extent. And I say that in that when I walk into high schools, and almost every single high school I walked into, and there's a head football coach there, and when they're as concerned as they are right now for where the roles are heading and how it's going to impact their young men, it tells me that it's probably not going down a good road.
Hey, Bo, can you speak specifically about what bothers you about the way things are headed with the rules and the deregulation, the unlimited contacts, things like that will happen after this year?
Well, I think that first and foremost, it's going to affect the kids in high school. And they're going to be concentrating on things they shouldn't be concentrating on. And that's academics. That's being the best football player they can be. That's developing as a young man. That's enjoying his high school career. And the more time a kid is spending on the phone texting and on the telephone and doing all the other things that are taken away from that is doing the kids. It's doing the high schools. It's doing the high school coaches. It's doing everybody a disservice. And that's just my opinion. And, you know, as far as you know, an early signing period and that type of thing. You know, it's, you know, should they, you know, should, when a kid commits, should that be it? You know, there's a lot of different things that should be, that need to be talked about and resolved and figured out as we go forward. You know, some people, I'm sure there's some coaches out across the country who disagree with what I'm saying, because they like, you know, and I should say this. The other thing that this is going to affect, or could affect, are the players on your campus already. Because the more time you have to spend doing all these things with the bells and whistles and all the, you know, things that you have to try to figure out to try and get recruits on campus and stay in the game, there's the less time you have the time with to spend with the kids who are already in your program, and you already have a tremendous responsibility and to help and develop and help coach, help guide, and you were already limited to 20 hours a week. And now, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of levels to this role and to where it's going to affect a lot of people.
But you got to, I mean, you got to play the game. How does it affect the coach's life?
I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. And, you know, I could go into this at a really deep level. And me, it's not going to affect me that much. But you know, you're going to have to change some things in your staff and how you go about things to make the most and give yourself the best opportunity to keep up with the Joneses. But at the same time, I know this. My first responsibility is always and always will be with, first and foremost, with my wife and my kids. Second of all, obviously, it's my job and what I have to do to coach the kids that are on campus first. And obviously, part of that responsibility and that job is to recruit. And believe me, we'll do what's necessary to put together the best classes we possibly can.
Given the circumstances, did you have a problem with Morrow going after McWilson?
I don't know if it was Morrow that went after McWilson. No. I don't know how that quite happened and why it happened, but obviously, you know, like I said, I got the kids in this class that I wanted.
I think of the last 30 official visits you had on campus, 19 of them committed, kind of bringing meaning to there's no place like Nebraska. What happens once the kids actually get on campus that they able to do the close?
I think kids, you know, I think the perception out there across, you know, outside of our state and outside of people that are familiar with our university, that obviously I think the tradition, people understand that, but of what Lincoln has to offer, what the university, what the state has to offer, the people and everything. And we've said it, you know, more than once that when we get a kid on campus here and they're able to see the facilities, meet the people, interact with the people in the city, in the downtown, and see the passion that surrounds this program, it really helps sell us. And also the aspect of, you know, a kid coming in and seeing what Dennis LeBlanc and his staff can do, Keith Zimmer and his staff, and not just what we can do for him football-wise, but what we, you know, what this whole university, the whole athletic department is committed to developing young men, which is much more than just trying to develop as a football player. And everything that we try to do is a group and as a team, meaning the whole athletic department, to give to our student athletes and to make sure that they understand that when they walk out the door, that's the most important thing, that they're going to be ready for the opportunities, for the challenges that lie ahead once they graduate from college. And at this university, in my opinion, is the best out there in developing kids and making sure that they're going to have the opportunities to reach every goal beyond football that they want to reach. And when kids come in there, and more importantly, and you know, just as importantly, parents come in here and see that, it sells itself. And I think they see there is no place like Nebraska when they have the opportunity to see it up close and personal.
Was it from Mel Dixon Case one of the more interesting ones you've seen with recruiting, and what were the last kind of 24
hours? Who's
that? Travell Dixon, and the last 24 hours with him.
Well, you know what, that young man, I mean, that's not one of the more interesting ones I've had. I coached down in Louisiana for a number of years, and, you know, the mother, you know, Paula, his mom, wasn't on the visit. He was probably, to a certain extent, being pulled in a couple different directions and wasn't quite sure. I think he knew all along that this was the best place for him, but a kid who grew up in a small town in Louisiana, that's a big step. And I give him a lot of credit for being able to sign his name and go out there outside of the box and know that he's going to get on a plane and go a long way from home to play football and to continue his career and get an education. And it wasn't an easy thing for him to do. He in the end, he realized it was the right place for him, and now it's our responsibility to make sure that we make that the right choice for him and what we do for that young man.
Well, we talk about Josh Van Der Esch, what kind of ambassador he was for the class, one of the first commits.
Sometimes it's a shame because sometimes those guys that commit early, like Josh Van Der Esch, Johnny Stanton, you go right down the list of some of these young men who committed early, stayed committed the whole time through. Sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle because, the focus goes on the end of the class and who committed late and, who committed, who's decommitting, all the other things. When there are a big core group of guys who committed early, stayed committed, and really helped us finish this class off. And, on the Facebook and the different things that they stayed in contact with a lot of these recruits. And just shows, early on that, there's a group of kids that took a leadership role in this thing, and I think it'll pay off for us because I think they'll be leaders for a long time to come once they become part of this program.
Well, what did you see in Johnny Stanton that attracted you to him?
Tremendous football player, like the rest of these guys. He has great potential. He has a lot of character. He's a tough kid. Can do multiple things. I mean, you look from the quarterback position, he can throw. He's tough. He can run. He can run inside. He can run outside. You add him to the stable of quarterbacks we already have on campus. I feel real good about that position.
Is he on pace to be back 100% health-wise? I know he had a knee.
He's doing fine. He'll be 100% when he gets there.
Do you have a sense for the three guys that have been here, Neville, Singleton, Courtney Love, how they've progressed since they've been here?
They've done well. Coach Dobson's saying nothing but great things. You look at a guy like Courtney Love's very kind of physically developed. He's way ahead of the game and kind of what he looks like and what he's capable of doing right now. But he's still really being trained, in a big time program for the first time. David Neville's a guy who is behind. You ask him, and he's being exposed to a lot of things for the first time, but he's really come a long way in a short period of time, and every day is important for him. And DJ Singleton the same. He's a guy who is mature, both mentally and physically, and I think he's come here on a mission. And those guys that start early, it's not easy to do to start mid-year. You kind of go in, and it's those three guys trying to interact and find their way into a football team that all knows each other. But, in our program, we got a lot of good young men, kids who, take these guys under their wing and are showing them the way, and they fit right in. They haven't missed a beat.
What do you like about Drake Martinez? And what was the Martinez's family? What was the reaction like when you brought another one of their family members in the program?
They were really excited. But, I tried to be a little bit hands-off in that recruiting to a certain extent and have respect for the fact that I think Drake knew I wanted him here. Wanted to make sure, he's a young man that can play a lot of different positions. We're going to start him. Wanted to make sure we were on the same page of where he would start. He's going to start on the defensive side of the football, the safety position, and knew he was talented. But at the same time, it's different for a young man like that where his brother's here. I didn't want to make him feel pressured by us, by anybody that, make him feel like, make him make this decision for Drake, not for because his brother's there and because it's expected that he goes to Nebraska. So, in fact, I was probably a little too hands-off at times and that kind of giving him his space and, when his time's right, he can tell me. And then it started getting a little bit too close, and I got on the phone. I said, "Hey, we got to sit down, and we need to talk about this and figure this out." And it became really clear that he knew that this was a place for him, and this was a tremendous opportunity for him. And I'm thrilled because I think he's has the potential to be a heck of a football player.
Coach Mixon told a story about how you stopped in to see his mom before you saw him. Ernest Settles told a story about Coach Papuchis being more concerned with his well-being post-football. You think you could see a shift with all the craziness going on where people will take comfort in the safety and the family structure that's known as Nebraska and actually have it become a recruiting advantage coming here in a place where the perception is it's good to raise a family?
Yeah, I think so, Damon. I think that that's important. Especially, you know, like I say, we get the kids that we want. I think, you know, that a certain type of young man, obviously we're recruiting kids with talent, but a certain type of young man gravitates to our program. We don't go in there with a lot of bells and whistles. It's pretty black and white. This is going to be what we have to offer. This is what our university has to offer. It's pretty special what we have to offer here. And, you know, if you're about the right things, I think it's a place that sells itself to a certain extent. But, you know, we want to know, you know, we want to make sure we're developing a relationship with the family. Going to see I sat down and I've been in every one of these kids' homes. And they get to know me. I get to know them. We're on the same page. As far as, you know, what the expectations are, there's not any false promises. There's no promises whatsoever other than we're going to give them an opportunity and we're going to demand a high standard from them day in and day out, from the day they walk in until the day they leave. And other than that, you're going to get what you earn around here. But I will say that, you know, I talk a lot more about things other than football than I do football when I sit down in front of these kids and their families, because in my mind that's the most important, and obviously football will take care of itself. It either will or it won't, with each kid. And you know, but reality is most of these kids aren't going to play in the NFL. You know, you watch this thing all day long that went on ESPN and everything else, and most of those kids you saw on TV, the reality of it is most of them aren't going to play in the NFL. So there's a lot more to this. It's a lot more important than what's going to happen on the field on Saturdays for these young men.
Oh, you had about half your class seemingly commit over the last couple months. Do you like having scholarships available so you can use those December, January to evaluate some senior film? Just talk about that. Was that by design to have some openings available so you could get some people who might be under the radar?
Not necessarily. Every class, every situation, every young man for that matter, in the recruiting process, every situation's a little bit different. And it's ever-changing. Your needs, you know, sometimes become a lot clearer after the season than it does before the season. There's a lot of things that play into this. And is it nice having some scholarships? It's at times, but at times I wish they were all filled full by the time we get to a bowl game. But I think I don't. I wouldn't want. That'll never happen here. I don't want that to happen here because I think that you learn a lot about kids during the senior year, and I think a lot of the best players maybe didn't come in to play their best football till their senior year, and that's why, me personally, I wish the whole thing, rather than speed up the recruiting process, I wish we could slow it down some. Because I think there would be less mistakes made, I guess you could say. And it give you a lot better opportunity to evaluate them during their senior year, which should be the most important time to evaluate them.
Did you know some of the guys in this class that really stepped up that senior year that you were glad that you had that second year look at?
Well, you look at a guy like Ernest Suttles, you know, you go right down the list. Kevin Maurice, Kevin Maurice played more offense. He played both ways as a junior, but he didn't play the bulk of his football, on the defensive side till his senior year. And know, because he was playing both ways all the time. You know, I mean, that's just two examples, but you look, you can go right down the list of, you know, especially some of the guys that committed late. And, you know, you're not necessarily recruiting kids of what they did in high school. You're recruiting, trying to figure out and what they're going to be a year, two, three down the road. And, you know, obviously what they've done during their senior year is real important. There's one young man who we would have taken early, who bottom line didn't play worth a damn during his senior year. So, you know, it was obvious he wasn't part of our plans for whatever reason. I think he had the potential, but he got caught up, in my opinion, in the recruiting process and a lot of other things, which showed me he'll probably down the line probably won't become the football player he's capable of becoming. So, you know, so every situation's a little bit different.
Walk-on class, how much of the success that your prior walk-on getting onto the field so early in the process, did that help in the selling of trying to get some of these guys to walk on your program?
Well, yeah, you know, it's, I think our walk-on program speaks for itself. I mean, it sells itself. Jeff Jamrog and the coaches and a group of, you know, the group that's involved in helping recruit the walk-ons is, you know, Coach Cotton's very, really involved there here in the state, and they do a heck of a job evaluating and figuring out who fits us. And, you know, we didn't take, you know, it's going to end up being 15 kids. We've taken more than that. I think we've taken less than that a year, you know, maybe a year or two ago. And but we take the kids we feel are right for us. And it makes sense both ways. And we feel real good about this group. And reality of it is, well, a number of those kids will probably play for us and help us. And that's a big has been huge for our program since I've been here. I mean, you go all the way back to Tom, but I know since I've been here, the walk-on program's been really helped us win a lot of football games.
Hey, Bo, how's it work with Hurd and Rome? Do they stay on scholarship and enrolled in classes for the rest?
Yeah, they'll finish out this semester.
And they stay on scholarship?
Yeah, I believe so. The scholarship doesn't rescind until that gets renewed in July. Or not renewed.
Why is Rome transferred?
It was mutual. We sat down and he thought it was best that he go to play in another program, and I agreed with him.
Did you consider leaving a door open for Braylon at any point?
Uh huh.
But it's closed now.
Not necessarily. We still got a couple scholarships left. If Braylon decided that, you know, he rethought things and. Yeah, I'd sit down with them. I think the world of Braylon. You know, right now it's not, you know, he's, you know, his mindset's another place. So I wish him luck.
Coach, a ton has changed. You've done this a long time with kids' temperament and what they can, how hard they want to compete. Do you have to have discussions ahead of time before you go out and recruit to see, gauge whether your team can handle other guys being recruited, bringing in certain guys, will they embrace competition? Or do you try to do that evaluation process when you're first bringing those kids in to know if they can handle that kind of competition?
You know what, I'm very, very consistent. We as a staff are very consistent from the day we meet a kid till the day that he graduates. And there's no kid that's been promised anything. To earn what you get, you're gonna have to compete. And the best guys are going to play, you need to put it on film. If you can't put it on film, you're not going to be out there. And that starts the day we meet a kid. And that isn't going to change. That isn't going to change any time. Are we going to lose some kids? Maybe. But you know what? At the end of the day, what I'm going to concern myself is those kids that we walk out on the field with on August 31st. Because you know what? They've all heard the same thing. There isn't any... just by going off of how they were recruited, there's not a kid in our program who would have any reason to believe that I'm walking into another recruit's home and saying, we're gonna put you on the field day one. You're going to be starting the first time. That's just not going to happen. That does not happen here. And it's one thing that we have in our program. It's black and white and it's consistent. And that's why we don't have many problems. I mean, does that mean that a kid's not going to leave every now and then? No, that's just the way it is these days. You just look across the country. We probably average
less when you look at the national average of kids leaving our program. We've been below the norm. Right now, with like four kids in about the last year, that's probably at about the average, maybe the norm right now. We've been below norm. But is that going to happen? Yeah, it's going to happen some. But does that mean, in my mind, if they leave, that means that they're probably better off someplace else. And in the end, our program's probably better off someplace else.
Your microphone fell off.
This is Bo Pelini's National Letter of Intent Recruiting press conference from Lincoln. Coach Pelini's mic did get knocked off. They're going to go ahead and fix that. We'll send you back to Lincoln.
You see, you had a couple in recent years. What's down there, numbers and talent-wise, and what opportunities maybe down there for you guys?
Well, you know, it's pretty local to us. It's, you know, within that 500-mile radius, and there's good football down there. We're recruited hard down there. Coach Garrison's been down here now, and he has some ties down there. That's going to help us, hopefully, in Kansas City. And I know this coming year, this next year, obviously, I can't talk about kids, but it's a strong year down in Kansas City. And I know I did some junior recruiting already down in that area. And, you talk about Kansas City, we want to get heavier into St. Louis. Which we haven't had a lot of success in, but we want to continue to recruit hard. So at the end of the day, the closer we can stay to home base, the easier it's going to be for us and the better off we're going to be. It's just, every year is a little bit different. And we got to go find the kids we feel can help us win a championship.
How's the in-state crop next year?
Generally speaking, pretty good. There's going to be some evaluation that needs to go on, and but probably, I'm not going to throw numbers out there, but probably deeper than it was this year.
Of course, looks like the last week or so recruiting has been a little tough on the body.
No, that just happened about an hour ago, so.
I didn't see the other guy.
No, it was a pull.
Anything else for Coach? Hey, Bo, last year, towards the end of the season, you said you kind of wished you had got some of the younger defensive linemen some more playing time. You think you'll be more willing to pull the trigger this year with a 6 incoming D-line?
I can't look into a crystal ball, and I'm not sure, but we're going to fire our guns next year. And I'm not – I told every kid that I looked at recruiting, I said, get your butt ready to play. Because that's going to be our mindset. We're going to try and get each one of these kids ready to play, and we're going to try and use every ounce of depth that we have. And like I said, our mindset is to, like it always is to go win them all. And there's a number of these young men that I think can be a big part of that.
That's a bit of a shift, though, telling those guys that, isn't it, to be ready? Is that a little different?
I haven't addressed it much in the past. I think we're at a point in the program right now where it's a little bit different. I look back and I think the one mistake I did make is that I didn't play some of these kids more. I did redshirt some of these kids. I made that decision, I think, maybe a little bit too quick, and I've kicked myself for it. And you live and learn. Like I said, you think back and you evaluate, you learn from, sometimes you got to learn from your mistakes too.
We have a couple second generation Nebraska players in this class and obviously some family members. What does that bring to the program, having had that consistency from before and that mentality from before? What can that bring to you?
Well, the tradition in this program obviously is, in my opinion, is second to none. And having former players, I guess you call them legacies. To me, it's just like the importance of the walk-on program and, the importance of the football in the state, making sure the state's represented. At the end of the day, having kids that, when you recruit across the country and you're recruiting nationwide, and you bring, the single most important thing, biggest challenge you have as a football program, as a coach, is to bring in and get all those kids that are coming in from across the country to buy into a certain culture and a tradition that is different than any other place in the country. Let's face it. It's unique unto itself. this football program is. And having, obviously, the walk-ons, the in-state kids, having families who have been through this, who understand what this football program is all about, makes that culture stronger, faster. And that's a very important part of our program, always will be, so it's nice to have that representation in this class.
Okay. Hey, practice starts in a month. If any guys off the top of your head you know of at this point may not participate.
No, everybody will be ready to roll, I think. Thad Randall won't. Other than that, everybody else will be ready to go.
Did he have a knee surgery?
He just had his knee cleaned out. He's going to be – Thad Randall, sucked it up all year. And he played hurt a lot of the year. He's going to be 100% when he comes back. And let me tell you, that's going to be really good news because when he's healthy, he's a good, really good football player. We need him back at 100%, and he will be. I mean, the surgery was successful, and how he made it through the year, it just shows the kind of toughness and what that guy's got inside. He's a special guy.
Would you slide any of your defensive ends into tackle?
Somewhat. We're talking about that, and we're going to have we have a really talented group, I believe, up front, and a group that's going to be very versatile, that's going to be athletic and can do a lot of different things. So we're going to have a lot of options in how we can use that talent.
That is Bo Pelini and his yearly press conference to address the National Letter of Intent Day, his 2013 football recruiting class here on ESPN Radio.